The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 50. Excuse me, that's chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good news, lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is Matthew 11, 2 to 11, the gospel lesson just read. The sermon title is The Dawn of the New Age. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let's face it, The 1960s was a weird time, especially here in the San Francisco Bay Area. On the one hand, there was the constant political conflict about the war in Vietnam and the draft. Then there were the assassinations of John F. Kennedy, 1963, Martin Luther King Jr., 1968, and Robert F. Kennedy, 1968, all political assassinations. And then there were the growing problems of drug overdoses, teenage pregnancies, and unwed mothers and deadbeat dads. There were the racial riots, for example, in Harlem in July 1964, Chicago, August 1966, the long hot summer of 1967, with 150 riots around the country, especially damaging Newark and Detroit. Then the King assassination riots of 68, with 100 riots around the country, and the Greensboro, North Carolina riots in May 1969, just to finish off the decade. And on top of all that, there was the constant fear of nuclear war, with both Russia and China ready to blow LA and San Francisco Bay Area to smithereens at the first failure of our military defenses. But then, there was the hope or dream of a new age. It seemed like the entire baby boomer generation joined the hippies, not just in dress and language, but in renouncing war, violence, racial discrimination, hypocrisy, and politics as usual. The Beatles sang, "All you need is love," as the answer to all of our problems. More expressive of the hopes and dreams of those days was the song "The Age of Aquarius" from the Broadway musical Hair, sung by the Fifth Dimension. Do you remember the lines from that song? It is the dawning of the Age of Aquarius. Now, the hippies thought it was the dawn of a new age, because love is all you need, as the Beatles assured us. Now, what followed the 1960s was not a new age, or a new society, or real change in human beings, but the New Age movement. It was and is a range of eclectic religious practices and beliefs which rapidly grew in Western society during the early 1970s. Although many scholars consider it a religious movement, those who followed it typically see it as spiritual, or something that unifies mind, body, and spirit. And if you go to the bookstore, to the section that used to be religious periodicals or whatever, now it's all that. As a form of Western esotericism, the New Age movement drew heavily upon the occultism of the 18th and 19th centuries, including the work of Emanuel Swedenborg and Franz Mesmer, as well as spiritualism, New Thought, and Theosophy from those same centuries. Closer in time, it arose from the UFO religions of the 1950s, the counterculture of the 1960s, which I've just mentioned, and the human potential movement, and including with all that, various strains of Hindu philosophy, Zen Buddhism, astrology, macrobiotic vegetarianism, whatever that is, channeling crystals, and magic. This idea of a new age, for all of its pretense for being new, is actually very ancient. Historians have often divided history into periods, eras, or ages. And the end of an age is, by definition, the beginning of a new age. An example of a historical period is the 18th century, often called the age of reason. And religions, or religious historians, also divide history into periods, eras, or ages. Christians have usually divided world history into five ages. The first age was initiated by the fall of Adam and ended with the flood. The second age started with Noah emerging from the ark. And the third age, known as the Old Testament, began with Abraham and ended with John the Baptist. The fourth age, known as the New Testament, began with Jesus and will end with the signs of his second coming. The fifth age will begin with Jesus' return and will last forever. Christian scholars have often debated about the number of ages and exactly when they started and finished, but that is generally what they follow. Now, there's no debate among all that debate about the fact that the Old Testament ends with John the Baptist, and the New Testament begins with the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. These terms, Old Testament and New Testament, refer primarily and originally to God's promises to his people, not to the books we have in our Bibles. It's to promises that God gave. A testament is a solemn promise, as is found, for example, in testamentary wills, which we still produce today. The Old Testament covenant includes the promises given to Abraham and to his descendants, the Israelites and later the Jews. The New Testament contains the promises given to the 12 apostles and the one holy apostolic church. The blood of the New Testament, which we receive in the Lord's Supper, reminds us every Sunday that we live in the age of the New Testament. In our gospel lesson this morning, we see the coming of the New Testament and the passing of the way of the old. Look at verses 9 to 11 in our text, and I'll repeat this. Jesus told the crowds, "What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." End of quote from Jesus. This means that John was the greatest and the last of the prophets of the Old Testament age, who was to prepare for the Messiah and his kingdom in the New Testament age. So what is all this business about the New Age and the Old Age, periods in history, and the Old and New Testaments have to do with you? It has everything to do with your life and faith as a Christian, because it tells you what part of the Bible does not apply to you. And we've been talking about this in our Sunday Bible class off and on as we've looked at Leviticus. Under the Old Testament covenant, God had a special, unique relationship with the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their descendants for about 2,000 years. They were his chosen people, the elect. They were given a promised land. They were given special protection and blessings that amazed their neighbors and sometimes scared their neighbors. Well, this did not mean that other people could not be saved eternally. We see examples of that, those who believe in God and are commended by him in the Old Testament. It did mean that only the Jews were given God's presence in their temple and the special revelations through their prophets. Only the Jews were given the privilege of bearing the Messiah. When the Old Testament came to an end, all of the covenants, promises, laws, priesthood, commands, temples, and sacrifices also came to an end too. It was all encompassed by the Old Testament. And all those things were fulfilled or they were abrogated. Jesus demonstrated this by healing on the Sabbath and doing many other things that demonstrated that the Old Testament was obsolete. The writers of the New Testament tell us this in particular and explain what it means. For example, Paul in the book of Galatians or the writer to the Hebrews. And the Christian church demonstrated that the Old Testament was no longer valid by not circumcising their infant boys and by not keeping the laws of kosher. And those were just among many things that they did not observe. Now, what this means for you is that when you read the Bible, the Old Testament covenant does not apply to you. Even though the Old Testament books in the Bible are true and without error. In other words, the promises given by God to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants, as well as the religious and civic laws given to Moses, do not apply to you. Martin Luther argued that the Ten Commandments do apply to you, but only because they are the truest example of the natural law affirmed by the New Testament, not because they are part of the Old Testament covenant. The only part of the Old Testament covenant that does apply to you directly is the promise of the Messiah, and that fulfillment was in the New Testament. Now, not all Christians keep this distinction between the Old and the New Testaments clear. And it causes lots of confusion. The Roman Catholic Church, for example, believes that their priesthood, with its sacrifices of the Mass, must continue in the New Testament. And this is why they call their ministers priests, and why they call their celebration of the Lord's Supper a sacrifice. Luther, back in the 16th century, told the papists, "You've confused the Old and New Testament." They said, "Get rid of that guy." The idea of a perpetual priesthood in the Old Testament also influences the Catholic idea of apostolic succession, with the bishops serving as, in their mind, New Testament high priests. Among Protestants, there is a very common belief that the land of Palestine must return to or remain in Jewish hands, because it was promised to Abraham. Some of them even believe that the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem and that Jesus will return to earth and rule as Messiah from that place. But this is a confusion of the Old and the New Testament. It is a confusion of the law and gospel, as Luther also explained to us and taught. John the Baptist came to point people to Jesus, the Messiah. But in so doing, he also was proclaiming that the Old Testament had come to an end and the new age of the gospel had come. In Jesus' name, amen.